It's the Who's On First baseball show with the coach, Carl Demasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
And what's up, baseball fans? You're listening to the Who's On First Base, I Don't Know, Baseball Podcast, Episode 18 for September 8th, 2021. It's the coach, Carl Demasi, of course, the baseball fanatic. Episode 18 already. We're in the books. We had to take last week off. I had a lot going on. He had a lot going on. You know, my people are trying to talk to his people talking to my people.
We had lunch.
We don't even know who's on first base, so what can I tell you?
I love it.
What's going on, Kyle?
Coach, always good to talk to you. We got a lot to talk about here. We are in September. We're getting down to the meat of it here, determining who is going to go to the playoffs here. We had a lot go on this week, and the races are getting tight in several divisions. We had some Hall of Fame action going on today. We've got some chit-chat about some Cy Young and MVP candidates going up here. And the Braves are still in the thick of it right now in first place. And we're also going to do a little bit of trivia. I feel like I've got some stuff to stump you tonight. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And don't forget, we got to talk some bananas.
Got to talk bananas.
I mean, another big award comes in. So we got to plug the batters. Okay, so we're going to go first inning around the horn, second base, Braves focus, third base, a little slippery banana, and fourth inning. So once again, we're going to go first inning. We're going to go around the horn, talk about Major League Baseball. Second inning, we're going to talk about Braves. We're going to focus on them Braves. Third inning, we'll do a little bananas. You know, bananas getting all these awards. Fourth inning, a little trivia between the coach and, of course, the baseball fanatic. I know he's going to love to hear this. He's got 11 W's, 3 L's, and 3 ties. But you know what?
Yeah.
He didn't shut me out this year. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I didn't shut you out. And you have stepped up your game. I know you know your baseball. And honestly, you've just been throwing harder questions at me. And that's what I like.
That's what you got to love. All right, stepping up to the plate. It's the first inning. Let's go around the horn. First base, we got races, and we don't have races. So let's talk about the races that aren't happening. You love to talk about it. The AL Central, go right ahead, buddy.
All right, here you go. The White Sox have all but run away with this division. They are 80-58, 11 games over the Cleveland Indians, all but over. The big question about the White Sox, can they stay healthy? They still struggle, running the bases, and their defense isn't always all that great. If they want to make a big run in October, they got to make sure that, one, they stay healthy, two, they work on those fundamentals. But that division's theirs.
I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about this, because the AL, practically, if you ask me, it's over. I mean, in the AL East, I got to go with the Devil Rays. Not the Rays. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. It's unbelievable. A bunch of no-names. Winning the division, Yankees got hot. Now the Yankees aren't hot. Red Sox are trying to stay into it. Everybody's dreaming about it. It's Yankees, Red Sox, one game playoff. But this division is in the sea because the Devil Rays are really, really swimming along with no threat at all.
88-51, 7-3 in their last 10, 9.5 game over the floundering Yankees right now, who are still in the playoff conversation right now, but they've gone 2-8 over their last 10, coach. And you look at the Red Sox, they're not exactly playing world-beating baseball either. 4-6 in their last 10 right now. If the season were to end right now, it would be the play-in game and the scariest game in all of playoff baseball, you know, is the play-in game for the wild card. 1-2 would be the Red Sox and your beloved Yankees. But let's not forget the Toronto Blue Jays. Once it's a four-headed monster right there, everybody but Baltimore is out of this thing. And you look at right now, Toronto are staying tough, and they're playing unbelievable ball. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're only 2 games out.
Hey, you know what Yogi Berra used to say? It ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, you got that right. But I think the Rays are pulling away, and it's basically the time for the second, third, and fourth place teams in this division, who we've mentioned, to go and fight this one out.
All right. We got to talk about the AL West. It's the Astros. They're starting to pull away. 6.5 games up on the Mariners. You think someone's going to catch them?
I don't think they're going to catch them. I really don't. I thought Seattle's been a fun story all year, but they're 6.5 back. They're 3.5 back in the wild card. They have turned their focus there. Houston, I think, is just too strong right now. Houston is 81-57 right now, and I just don't think anybody's going to catch them. Oakland is 7 back right now, and they have fallen 3.5 back in the wild card. That was my pick to win the division earlier this season, but I think it's Astros once again.
All right, we'll do the wild card next week. So let's just talk about the races, okay? We got to go to the senior circuit. We got to go to the NL. Let's start with the team that's running away in your beloved division. Can you believe the Brew Crew is up 11 games on the Reds and the Cubs? You can't even find them.
Well, that's just it. It's this. Who's this guy? You know, I mean, that's pretty much the roster for my beloved Northsiders right now. Milwaukee has one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. You look at guys like Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, and then you got firepower with Josh Hader coming out of the bullpen right now. They are 85-55 right now, 11 over Cincinnati. Sneaky, fun team, Cincinnati, but no way they're going to catch him. Great pitching and scrappy hitting has really been the tale for the Brew Crew this year. Good on them and Craig Council this far. That division's done.
All right, let's stay out west. Let's go where the race is hot, the Giants and Dodgers. Two New York teams that wanted to go to the left coast to be on the left side of the world. Okay. Yeah, I know you're fighting it out. We're fighting it out. The Giants and Dodgers are fighting it out again, just like they used to do when they were in New York. I mean, it's going to be a great race.
I was about to say, it's like, you know, Carl is wearing a delightful Los Angeles Dodgers t-shirt. My girlfriend, Angela, would be very proud of that.
And that's who I wore it for. I wore it because you always got this Cub gear on, so I had to do a little Dodger love out there. So, the Giants aren't folding there, buddy. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, are hanging in there. They took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers this previous weekend. I mean, I got to love the orange and black.
Now they're playing great ball, but they have a precarious 1-game lead over the Dodgers, and they will see each other coming up in the next month here. They've only played they've been 5-5 over the last 10. The Dodgers are right there, 7-3 in their last 10. It's a 2-game sprint. San Diego is all but out of this race. There is no way they're going to catch up to either one of these teams right now. And crazy, very similar to the AL East, if the season were to end today, I mean, you're looking at possibly the Dodgers playing the Padres.
I know. It could be pretty interesting. And, you know, we got to go out to the NL East. Let's come back across the country 3,000 miles. Okay. The Braves are holding on. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Philadelphia's hot, 7-3 in their last 10. The Mets, 8-2 in their last 10. I mean, you can't figure this out. You can't figure this division out. One team gets hot, the other two aren't hot. Another team gets hot, the other two go off. I mean, it's just crazy. But do the Braves have enough to hang on? That's my question.
I really do. I don't think Philadelphia is going to catch them right now. The Braves went through a rough stretch, but I really think right now they've got a 2.5 game lead. They had a big win last night. Big Ozzy coming up with a big homer. Now, they're 2.5 games, like I said, over Philadelphia. The Phillies have been on a 7-3 streak over their last 10. The Mets are 4.5 back, playing really good ball after being just an absolute mess. But the Braves are going to have a lighter schedule. I will get into that a little bit more in our Braves segment here. But I really think if they can stay healthy right now and keep getting great performances from the guys like Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Tuki Toussaint, who's looked pretty good lately right now, they can find their way into October. Winning this division is the only way Atlanta makes it to the postseason.
All right, we'll get a little more into that in the second inning. All right, quickly, 2-minute drill, okay? Who's your AL MVP?
I was about to say, and I think we're of the same mind here, it's Shohei Ohtani. I have not seen power and pitching like this ever. You always get comps to, you know, Babe Ruth. You think about that. But you look at what he's doing right now, it's unbelievable power, and he's going out there every fifth day, and it looks like he will be doing that for the rest of his career. And he's pitching for a team that is really going nowhere in that division, and it's a shame that most of the country doesn't even get to see him because they're playing at 10 o'clock every night.
No, we don't see him. All right, NL. All right, I'm going to give you my choices here. I'm going to go with you, Otani. He's my AL MVP, okay? But I got to look at the NL. We got Tatis Jr. We got Harper on a tear. And don't forget, Fred Freeman's leading the Braves. But I like Austin Riley, too. But Trey Turner with the Dodgers. I mean, so it's a toss-up there in the NL. Right now, I'm going to make you choke here. Right now, I'm going to go with Harper, what he's doing for the Phillies.
You really think, okay, wow. That is impressive. So, I mean, he's been on a tear lately. I don't know if maybe he has the MVP resume right now. I am still very undecided with my pick right now, and I don't like to make picks going into September. I like to wait till the end of the season to do it. Do I think he could win it? Possibly.
Oh, we got less than 30 games to go, so we'll see if he can hang on. Okay, let's toe the rubber here. Let's go to the hill. AL, who's your choices? Cy Young Award winner.
Okay. I think Lance Lynn's done an unbelievable job for the White Sox.
Yes, he has.
Good pickup. I mean, low money contract, really. I mean, they got him for a really good deal, a guy that's a veteran that's bounced around with several different teams. I think he could win it.
I don't know. Garrett Cole's coming on here at the end. So, I mean, he left the game the other night with a little tight hamstring. So, we'll see what happens. But what about Robbie Ray? You haven't mentioned Robbie Ray.
No, I haven't mentioned Robbie Ray it's hard to call him, you know, a team an upstart ball club. Toronto is a very well put together team. And I mean, they picked him up. I mean, of course he came from a background pitching in Arizona. He's been an absolute monster for the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right, let's go out to the NL. I'll go first. I got four choices. Okay. First of all, we got to go Bueller, Walker, Burns, Zach Wheeler, and I'm telling you right now, I'm leaning towards a reliever named Josh Hader.
Hader's been absolutely nasty. You know what you can do is when you have a great staff like that, you got that three-headed monster of a pitching staff for Milwaukee, and then you turn the ball over to Josh Hader. Good night. The guy can go two innings. I like Corbin Burns. He doesn't get talked about very much because he plays in Milwaukee. I'm sorry. It's a small market team.
Right.
And they are a very good team. I like Burns a lot. I think this could be his year.
Now we're going to find out in the last one, and we'll talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame quickly. But my last one is, okay, comeback player of the year. You got to go to Baltimore.
Oh, it's not even close. Trey Mancini, great talent. He overcomes a pretty really tough battle with cancer, and he comes back, gets healthy, and he's out there playing every day. And you never get tired of seeing that. You look at the guys.
No, you don't.
John Lester, Anthony Rizzo, guys that have come back from battling with cancer and ended up having great careers. You love to see it.
All right. All-Star. Okay, we told you this for Wednesday, September 8th. We had the, not the All-Star, but the Hall of Fame inductions today on a Wednesday afternoon. I hate it. I mean, I used to love it every on that weekend, that special weekend that you could watch it in the summer. You get to watch the Hall of Fame game, but we're not doing that this year either. But, you know, what did I got to say? Oh, my captain. Yeah, Derek Jeter.
Right? I love it.
Yeah, the bad Canadian, Larry Walker. Okay. And then you had Mr. Simmons, right?
Yeah, you got Simba. You look at that. And then, of course, you're looking at your class, but you're also thinking about one of the biggest biggest parts of player relation history. And of course, the now deceased, you know, Marvin Miller, he spent 17 years as director of the Players Association. And he has to have a place in Cooperstown because of his contribution to the fact that there's free agency. It was good for the players all the way around. And he was great with labor relations. But let's talk about the captain. I watched the speech and I loved it. And it was great. He's classy. You know about his resume. He's Mr. Yankees, the captain through and through. It was 17 minutes and it was just a glorious speech.
I got the kid, watched the kid play his whole career. I mean, another true Yankee, never went to another team. True organization, man. Class act. Never had anything negative to say about baseball or the Yankees. Just came, did his job, blue collar worker. And you know what? He deserves it. I mean, once again, Larry Walker, second Canadian to make it into the Hall of Fame there, buddy. Who was the other one?
Yeah, Ferguson Jenkins.
Oh, I couldn't get him on that. We're not playing trivia yet.
That's easy.
Okay.
So Don't even get me started there. But yeah, I mean, the, you know, the ex-hockey player, he wore number 33 because he wanted to be a goalie. And but he just happened to play baseball. It's just kind of a passing thing. He went through some crazy knee injuries in the minor leagues. In 1988, he makes it to Indianapolis, Triple A, with the Montreal Expos. And he gets hot. He makes it to the show. And he showed power, speed. He could do it all. And his career really went off when he was able to make it to the wonderful light air of Colorado. You know, wins himself the 1997 MVP. And 17 years, 7 gold gloves. And this was his last year. This is his 10th year. Larry made it in. Happy to see it.
Tell us what you like about Mr. Simmons, Mr. Simba.
Simba. Now, this was, you had to go back a little bit. Of course, his career spanned, you know, from 1968 into 1988. Started off with the Cardinals. Came up as a rookie. He was a part of the team that lost to the Detroit Tigers in 1968. Was a part of a really great Milwaukee Brewers team in 1982 down the stretch there. And, of course, he finished up with the Atlanta Braves. But he was a part of the modern era vote in. He was finally able to get in. 2,400 hits, 8 All-Star games in 21 seasons. This is a case where sabermetrics really helped him out. It's a long time coming. Good for Mr. Simmons.
30 years since he played his last game. Can you imagine waiting 30 years to be a Hall of Famer? I'll tell you right now, he probably never thought he was going to get there. You know, Larry Walker played the game like, you know, hey, if it happened, it happened. You know, I'm going to do what I got to do. And he gets into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, I mean, Simmons, I mean, every time you turn around, he was doing something special for a different team. And,
He really was. And yes. He really did a great job, you know, after his career as a scout and in front offices for a variety of teams. So great class this year. Speeches were great. I just wish a lot of us didn't have to work so we could sit down and enjoy it.
Well, I'm going to go on my soapbox right here. MLB got it wrong again. Major League Baseball put it on the wrong date on Wednesday in September, right after Labor Day. Everybody's back at work. It just kills me. It just kills me. That's all I got to say. All right. You're watching the Who's on First Base baseball podcast, and it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. It's presented by, of course, John Henderson, Adele Henderson, and Coach's Corner. Got to thank John for letting us do this. We're part of 5 shows. Like I said, I didn't say to start the show off, but I'll say it now. Wednesday nights, okay, from 6 to 7 o'clock, you got Rubbin' and Grubbin'. Okay, that's the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, talks about race car rubbin', but he also gets free food because he grubs it from Coach's Corner. Okay, does a great job. Check it out on YouTube, Rubbin' and Grubbin'. Then, of course, the coach every Saturday morning from 9 until whenever, talking about all things local, high school sports, national sports, college sports, you name it. We do it. I do it. And the main goal is to get more news out there about our local kids. Then, of course, the third live show, well, it's once a year. It's called The 19th Hole with the Herb Brothers. Sean and Brent Herb do a great job. They talk about Augusta for 4 days straight. It's hilarious. You got to check it out. Go to YouTube, The 19th Hole. Then the two podcasts, The Young Pups, okay, doing the Hot Grids podcast with Travis Jadon and Spencer Maddox. They are going to save the globe on Durant Avenue. Okay, so we'll see what they do that. But a great listen, a lot of fun, make you laugh, little adultish. And then it's yours truly, the coach and the fanatic, doing Who's on First Base baseball podcast. Inning number 2. Okay, we got to get rolling here, guys. We went a little further over than we did with thought in part 1 or inning 1. We always do. Okay, Braves focus. People want to know about the Braves, okay? You know, they got to a 5.5 game lead, and now it's back to 2.5 games. They're playing, 400 baseball. Yeah, 400 baseball. They're 4 out of the last 10. The Braves are hot. The Mets are hot. The Phillies are hot. And the Mets are hot. You think they're going to hold on here, buddy?
I really do think they are going to find a way to hold on here. The Braves right now are 73-64 going into tonight. Like you said, they are 4-6 in their last 10. Still have a 2.5 game over Philadelphia. They went through a rough stretch playing some really tough teams. And they will have the advantage of playing a weaker schedule right now. Once again, big win last night against Washington. You look at the teams they got coming up here, Coach. They're playing Miami over the weekend. They got 3 straight. They get a day off. They get Colorado, another team that's out of the race. And they will have them next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all at home. Now, what gets me down this, if they can take advantage of that, they'll put themselves in a really good position. But they have one final gauntlet at the end of this month, 28th through the 30th. Truist Park. Guess who they're playing? Philadelphia. So we'll see if the Phillies are still in it. They need to take advantage. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I think the Braves are going to do really well this week against Washington. And one of the big keys, of course, you talk about the power that they have. The Braves are now the second team in Major League history with four infielders with 25-plus home runs. Ozzie Albies, he hits his 25th the other night. Freddie Freeman, 28. Austin Riley, 28. Dansby, 26. Now, Ronald Acuna Jr. was on a tear before his season-ending injury, but he still has 24. And you look at Mr. Duval, the big pickup, he's got 30. He hit 22 with Miami. And then, you know, he just is absolutely getting it done. Shrewd moves at the deadline. The power is lighting the way. But, Coach, I got to tell you, the ageless wonder himself, he comes back in his second tour of duty with the Braves. Charlie Morton is carrying the staff right now along with Max Fried, and he signs another $20 million. And this is after the age of 35, $20 million for next year. And they have an option for another extension in 2023 for $20 million. Great year for Charlie Morton, who has just found the fountain of youth at the right time.
I mean, you got to love it. At least they're sticking with that guy. I mean, but what gets me, though, Kyle, they got to come up with a reliever. They got to come up with a closer. And that's been the Braves' biggest problem
for
the last, I don't know how many years. Yes, we start out slow. We get hot. We pull into first place. But we need a closer. Yes, Charlie Morton has done great for us. But we need a closer. We have to get someone that's going to make it stand. And that's the Braves' problems. When's the last time we had a closer?
I believe his name is Craig Kimbrell.
How long ago, though? 4 years?
Yeah, that's been quite a while. Longer than 4 years, my friend, I'll tell you that. I will say this, though. I mean, Will Smith has had his ups and downs, but he has been able to get the bulk of the saves for the Braves. Thank goodness they've had starting pitching that's been able to go deep. But, I mean, what do you do at this point? There is no moves you can make. You have what you have right now. And Snitker, Brian Snitker, great manager, has to go out there and find and mix and match to make these moves.
Okay.
It is what it is at this point, Coach.
All right, and I got to give you the stat of the month, or the stat since the All-Star break. Okay, we talked about Charlie Morton getting the 20 mil. Max Fried has allowed one run over six innings the other night against the Nationals. He has posted a 1.97 ERA in 10 starts since the All-Star break. The only qualified National League starter with a lower ERA within the span is who?
Who do you got?
Plays for the Dodgers. Went from the Nationals to the Dodgers.
Oh, Max Scherzer, who's been on an unbelievable tear. Everything with the Dodgers have asked for.
And then you got to throw in Logan Webb with a 1.64. And the old guy from Georgia himself, still with the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright.
Crazy.
So, I can say Max Fried's in some pretty good.
Falling off.
Max Fried's in some pretty good company right there.
He is in some unbelievable Hall of Fame-like company right there, sir.
So, all right, down on the farm, I don't know if you've been following this, the number 10 prospect in the Braves organization struck out 10 the other night. You know who I'm talking about?
Tell me a little bit more, Coach.
All right, number 10 prospect in the Atlanta Braves organization struck out 10 batters the other night. Come on, you're on top of this stuff.
Number 10 prospect. Okay. I mean, come on. The Braves have a lot of pitching prospects.
All right, come on. Let's get this out here. You know who you're talking about.
I'm drawing a blank. Help me out here.
Okay. Initials. SS. Plays out in AA, the Mississippi Braves.
Oh, this is going to kill me.
Spencer Strider.
Ah, the Strider.
Okay. Strider has allowed just two hits in
Mississippi.
Yeah.
His you're last right, two innings, right. I was blanking on it. My bad.
His last two outings, 18 strikeouts.
He's being absolutely filthy. He's going to finish up with, Mississippi for the year. Now, I'll tell you this. Yeah, he'll be a striper next year for sure. And I think, I mean, if I'm looking at my pipeline correctly here, at least in my opinion, potential call-up.
That's what I'm saying. The end of the month. Could he make that jump from AA to the big leagues, to the show? Will the Braves do that?
Well, okay, well, if they truly believe in his arm, and do you think maybe they could use him in a bullpen capacity? That's the question they have to ask. Do you want to mess with his mechanics and do that, or do you truly believe you can go out there and get him ready as a starter right now and kind of lean him into maybe a, you know, inning or two type of relief situation? We'll see. They have the ability to do it right now. I don't think it'll happen, but it's worth a shot.
You know, strange things have happened within Major League Baseball. So they brought up single-A players to pitch in the Major League. So we'll see what happens. But that's it. Braves are still up 2.5 games in the NL East. We'll see what happens. We've got about less than 25 games to go, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah, we're right in that little sweet zone right here. Of course, as we're talking right now, it's the 8th of September. 3 weeks to go, and then the playoffs start the 1st of the month.
All right. You're listening to the Who's On First Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, and it's all presented by Coach's Corner. And we're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, third inning, we got to talk a little bananas, okay? Once again, the big news this week, they are the Coastal Plain League Organization of the Year. How could they not be that, Kyle?
It's not even fair. I mean, they had another dream season. They go 44-10. They take a Pettit Cup. Of course, they win the much-hyped breakfast bowl that I love that they do with the Macon Bacon. And then, I mean, you look at the awards that come out here. I mean, you get Pitcher of the Year in Joe Miller. He is a Quaker out of the University of Pennsylvania. And you get a good friend of the show, broadcaster, entertainer of the year for the Coastal Plains League, a fellow Paisan.
You got it.
That would be Biko Scala. And, of course, the man in the cowboy boots, manager Tyler Gillum. I mean, I don't know what could have gone better for this organization or for the baseball-loving fans of this city.
It's just been a lot of fun. What they've done to that old stadium, now we know it as historic Grayson Stadium, they've brought it back to life. They've made baseball fun. And you know what? As Jesse and Emily Cole and Jared Orton and Barry Aldridge always say, it's the fans first, and they put that out there. But people don't realize they put a great product between the white lines also there, buddy.
Yeah, you look at guys right now that are coming in, collegiate players that are looking to get extra at-bats. What happens? They get drafted. And I got to tell you, I mean, what is it, 8? I believe we have 8 bananas, past and present, from this year that are getting chances to go with major league organizations. And it's a testament to the league itself and to the overall just, I don't know, this team brings fans back every year, and it also brings the players back. I mean, you look at guys that are like 4-year bananas overall. I mean, you look at guys like Bill Leroy, Kyle Louise, Richmond Hill product.
They're coming back. They're going to give them another role. They're going to play for their premier team, which is when they make that World City trip tour that they did this year. And where'd they go?
They went to Mobile, Alabama last year.
To play in what stadium?
I believe they played in famous Hank Aaron Stadium.
You got it. So they're going to have a premier team. Those two guys will be playing for the premier team. So we're still going to get more Leroy and Lucas when they do this. So it's just been a lot of fun. I know they were supposed to have a big adult beverage party on October 2nd, but that's been nixed because of the COVID-19 protocols that was put out by the mayor. So we'll see what happens. They're definitely going to have something going on over there at Grayson Stadium. So we'll see what's going on. So once again, go ahead.
Go ahead. One last thing here, and it was recently announced that Kyle Louise and Bill Roy are going to be taking part, you know, in doing baseball clinics, banana baseball clinics. If you go to SavannahBananas.com, you can find out about signing up for those clinics. And of course, you know, that's for children in this area. Come out, get some great baseball teaching by hopefully future professional players and banana legends.
You got that right. So once again, congratulations again to the Bananas for doing it again, the Coastal Plain League Organization of the Year. All right, inning number 4. It's baseball trivia time. All right, I know we've got 17 games already in. The Fanatic has got 11 wins. I got 3 wins, and we got 3 ties, even though we don't like kissing each other. So, once again, it's a lot of fun. The questions are getting harder. All right, big guy, I'm up first. Throw it at me. First inning. Okay, here are the rules. We play 2 innings.
Thank you.
Okay, two questions. If it's tie, we go to a third inning, and we have a tiebreaker. So the last couple of weeks, we've gone to tiebreakers, and he's pulled it out. I just want people to know that. So I've been putting him to the test.
You've definitely been pushing me. Here's a good one about the captain, Derek Jeter. Number two, Derek Jeter, shortstop. Derek Jeter only has one career home run. Excuse me, one career grand slam in the regular season. Who did he hit it against?
I love Derek Jeter. I mean, I'm looking at his book right now, The Captain, but I have no idea.
It's a tough one. It's a team you'd never guess.
I'm going to take the goose egg in the top of the first on this one.
Really? Nothing?
Yeah, nothing.
Man, there's like four props behind you right now. It was against the Cubs at Wrigley, 2005. I love it. All right. 0-1, coach.
Once again, he throws Yankee trivia at me with the Cubs. Are you kidding me? I think that's going to go to the video replay and let the umpires make a call on that one, because that's cheesy, buddy. That's cheesy. All right. So who made it to the who's up there in the 600 club? Just hit a big one the other night.
600 club just hit one the other night. Well, of course, that's Albert Pujols.
Okay. So we know he's at what, 677. But who is the youngest player to hit 600 home runs?
600 home runs. Got to go.
What was the youngest age of one of the 600 home run club members? What was the youngest guy? How old was he and who did it?
Whoever do it. Okay. Of the 600 club.
Yes.
Okay. Barry Bonds.
Close. Babe Ruth did it at 36.
Yikes.
Hank Aaron did it at 37. And Barry Bonds did it at age 38. All right. We're 0-0 here now, buddy.
Okay. This is one, and okay, maybe, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm asking you this, but the great Roberto Clemente, he, of course, is a lifelong Pirate. But he was originally signed by what major league team?
The Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, okay, fine. Oh, that just kills me.
Hey, I'm a Roberto Clemente fan, and you know it broke my heart on that New Year's Day when he didn't come home, buddy.
Whew. Yeah, that's brutal. All right,
Major League Baseball did that right away. They waived the 5-year period and they put him in the Hall of Fame right away.
They did, and it was very right that they did that. And,
okay, this is it. You don't get this. I get the W. Okay.
Man, you got your closer in. What you got for me?
All right. Let's stay with the 600 Club.
Okay.
Okay. This member of the 600 Club has the most 40 home run seasons. Who is it?
Hank Aaron.
Okay. You're wrong.
Oh no.
Babe Ruth.
Wow. I knew
Babe Ruth had 11. Hank Aaron had 8. Willie the Say Hey Kid Mays had 6. And Barry Bonds only had 5. Yes! W, raise the flag! Raise the flag! I got the white flag with the red W hanging over my house tonight. It's 11, 4-3. Give it to the coach.
Wah, wah, wah. That was good, coach. I got to tell you. I really thought I was going to stump you. My bonus was going to be a fun one, but I'm not telling you now.
Oh, my bonus was going to be a fun one too, but you probably get it. I'm going to give it to you because I'm not going to use it next week. Here's my bonus one.
Fine.
Okay. Who's the only member in the 600 Club? You're going to get it right away, so you would have won if this was a trivia question. Who has never hit 50 home runs in a season?
Hank Aaron.
I know. You would have got that one.
Daggone it. Well, hey, coach, this was a good one. Well-deserved victory. And we got some crazy few weeks before we get to October. I'm just glad we finally were able to get this one in. And it was a great show.
Yeah, we just got to make sure we can find time to fit this in with everything we're doing. And once again, Angela, I'm still rooting for the Giants, but I love my Dodgers shirt for my grandmother. My grandmother, Conchetta Sparacia. Those bums, that's all she would tell me is those bums. Even when they moved out to L.A., she would say those bums. I think it's, you know, they broke her heart, but she loved the bums, okay?
hey, that's great. My girlfriend Angela loves her Dodgers, and she really approved of the shirt.
You got to give the Dodgers a lot of history, the Giants a lot of history. Too bad they couldn't stay in New York. Imagine if they were still in New York, that would be something special.
Imagine the metropolis of stadiums they would play in. Man alive.
We wouldn't have the Metropolitans.
No, you wouldn't.
And do you know who the Metropolitans are?
Yeah, the hated Mets.
New York Mets.
Whoops, I said that out loud.
So the Mets wear the royal blue cap for the Dodgers
NY.
And the orange for the Giants.
And before we close this episode out, we got to thank our sponsor, Coach's Corner, for letting us do what we do, talk baseball. Don't forget, we also have the Soundgarden. Out in the Soundgarden, starting tomorrow night, we have the charity concert for Hurricane Ida Relief. Check it out. A lot of great artists coming in to help with that. Friday, Keith and Ross, the legendary alternative country singers from Savannah, Keith and Ross. Saturday afternoon, we got a special race with Mikey Carter. That's right. Michael Carter Racing is out in Laguna Seca, California for the MX5 Cup Miata Series, 3 p.m. Saturday. Then we come back on Sunday to catch Mikey race at 1 p.m. Michael Carter Racing, he's part of the Coach's Corner family. Just look at the hood. You got the Coach's emblem on it. Then on Saturday night, we got Jupiter Coyote. That's it. The band itself. No tribute band. Jupiter Coyote. Then on Sunday, we got a special Sunday edition starting at 6 o'clock. Absolutely Queen. You know what that's all about? It's all about Queen. We are the champions. Also, it's college football season. We have a gazillion TVs here at Coach's Corner. Hey, check out your favorite team. Come in, ask your waitress or your server to put on your favorite team, and they'll do it. And remember, 3:30, the Bulldogs taking on the University of Alabama, Birmingham, will be on the screen also. Just check it out this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun, Kyle.
As we say at the end of every show, whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, or the next day, may you do what?
Make it your best week ever.
No, you're supposed to hit it out of the park.
After you make it your best week ever.
And then when we talk to you next week, hopefully it'll be what?
Your best week ever.
There we go. The Fanatics got it. He's going to get the routine down. But once again, stay safe. Wash those hands. Mask up if you have to. Get vaccinated. It's your choice. I know. But you know what? We're living with a pretty nasty virus right now. I know we've lived with the flu. But if we still want to do what we do, we got to take precautions. So, Kyle, stay safe. God bless. And it's going to be a fun 25 days until we get to the playoffs. You're in the playoffs?
Playoffs? Well, go ahead.
I don't think the Yankees are going to make it. I said it right here.
Hey, there you go. And that's a diehard Yankee fan talking about it. But, hey, everybody listen out there. Do what the coach says. Stay safe. Have fun. We'll have plenty of shows for you upcoming in the next week, getting you ready for the playoffs. Have a great week, everybody.
Talk to you later.
See ya.